What's up, guys? Welcome back to another Men's Ministry Podcast. My name is Chris Opila. I'm an associate pastor at Frontline Community Church, and I'm so glad you're listening in today because you're going to hear how one man is impacting his kids, not to point him to himself as a great father, but to point to the one who is the perfect father. And you can do that whether you're a dad or not, in all the relationships of your life, simply by pointing to Jesus, by pointing to God as the perfect one who can meet all the needs of the people in your life. And so I'm excited for you to hear this conversation. I sat down with Brant Gilkison and his son Bennett, and we got to just have a conversation over his unique role here. He is a military spouse, stay-at-home dad in our community. And that's one of the unique roles here that I really love to see guys operating in, investing into their children. And he's got some great practical tips, practical advice, and also just encouragement about who God is and how about who you are, wherever you are in life. Now, if you're joining us for the very first time, thanks for listening. Send me a message at men@frontlinecommunity.org. Just put first time listener in that subject line. I'd love to reach out and say thanks for joining us. If you have any questions or feedback for us, send me a message as well. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you're getting out of this, out of these episodes. All right, let's go to Brant and hear where God led this conversation. All right, guys, so I'm sitting down with Brant Gilkison this morning, and I'm excited to talk with him today. First, Brant, let's introduce you to those who are listening. Tell us about yourself, your family, what brought you here to Germany, your role right now. Tell us about yourself.
Thanks for having me, Chris. My name is Brant Gilkison. My wife and I and my family have been here for 2 years, right at 2 years. We actually started coming to Frontline the weekend after we got here, I think, 1 or 2 weeks after here. So we've been here for 2 years as well. Nice. 1 year in the seats and 1 year on our couch.
Yeah, there's a distinction now, isn't there?
Yeah. My wife is a physician with the Air Force, so that's what brought us here. Her name's Karin, and I have two boys, Beckham and Bennett.
Awesome.
Beckham is 5, and Bennett is here. He's 3. Hopefully, he stays quiet while we're doing this.
That's all right. If he needs to go to the bathroom, we'll just hit pause and we'll do, you know, come back. Awesome. So I want to get into some things because right now you're a stay-at-home dad of young kids. Mm-hmm. You're in a place where most military spouses don't have a chance to work, and most military spouses are female. Mm-hmm. So you're in a kind of a unique role, but there's other guys here at the church that are also in that role. And so this role comes with some major rewards. What are some of the best parts of your current role in your family?
You know, that's a great question. I think the biggest reward is just that I'm able to be present. You know, for so long, even when I had Beckham, right after we had Beckham, I worked full time and stayed at home full time. So I would just take Beckham with me to the job site. I would do whatever. And then I kind of transitioned to part time at home and then full time at home. And it's just so nice to be present. You know, I get to see their curiosity. I get to see the new things that they're doing. I get to teach them and share the things that I see and do those things instead of having them somewhere else. And, you know, I think just that time together is so valuable. It lets me know how valuable they are to me. And, you know, I see so much value in just being there with them. So I think that's one of the great things is that we get to do that. And the other thing is it gives me so much time to make memories with them. You know, I just got home, got here from taking my son to get donuts. That's kind of one of our things. You know, it started off, we'd go to the library and two boys would go get donuts and I'd get coffee and we'd read our library books. And so now every Friday they would, "Dad, are you going to do library and donuts? Are you going to go do donuts?" And
that's so cool.
So now every time we come on base, they're like, "Is it a donut day today, Dad? Can we go get donuts?" And so just building those memories and having things that we get to look forward to doing together. And that's kind of our thing. You know, being able to do that is super special, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, I still remember going for donuts with my grandfather, so that's going to leave an impact on them. Yeah. That's really cool. Awesome. Well, how does your role fit into what you believe God calls men to be as followers of Jesus and spiritual leaders in our homes?
I think both the last two questions, I think it's funny because you've used the word role. Mm. And I think as men, oftentimes we identify our role as what we do and being the provider for our family and being the breadwinner for our family. Mm. And I think sometimes spiritual leader gets pushed down the way. And I was the same way when I was, I was a full-time youth pastor and things like that. And so people always needed help. Kids always had a question. Parents always needed this form or parents needed that form. And so right. You can get so involved in work and doing things that you forget that what God created us to do is to be the spiritual leader of our home. And not only to our wife, but also to our kids. And I think having this stay-at-home time has really helped me change that focus.
Wow.
And we've been talking about it a lot. John's been talking about it at church, and we've been talking about our men's Bible study about changing your mindset, like how your thoughts can totally change with what you're doing. And
yeah.
And we get, I think so often we can get wrapped up in what we're doing and we want to be the provider for our families, but we forget that by being, and not this bad, but by being the financial provider and those things, sometimes we forget to be the provider at home.
Yeah.
You know, we can come home and just want to eat and veg and do this and do that. And, you know, so we can miss out on really providing for our family in those ways.
Hmm.
And I think that's been a good transition for me to help me make that that I've had the time to be at stay at home. And I understand not every family has that opportunity, but for me, that's been super valuable.
Yeah, one of the struggles of somebody who's working is when you get home, you've only got a short amount of time and you're tired and it's hard to be intentional. So how has that mindset shift helped you say, okay, I'm going to use my time with my boys to the best of my ability? And I'm throwing this as a curveball to you as a follow-up. So, you know, don't worry.
Can you repeat it quick?
Sorry. Absolutely. How does that change of mindset help you be more intentional as the spiritual provider, the spiritual leader of your home?
One, I found, again, something we talk about a lot, but I found that I needed to take the time for myself too, because I can't be the best spiritual leader in my home if I'm not leading myself spiritually.
That's great.
And so I had to make that change for myself and say, okay, I say this too, like, I've always been a person of, I've always had the wanna-wannas, like, I want to get up and do the, have quiet time.
Yeah.
And I want to spend all this time with, you know, my family. And I want to lead my wife in prayer and scripture and those things. And before, I didn't necessarily make that commitment. And so now being home and seeing how important it is to have patience and teach my kids about grace and to do those things, like, it's been very important for me to also sit down and make sure that I'm understanding what it means to have grace, what it means for Christ to have grace for me so that I can then have grace for my family. And so I think that's been a huge thing, is making sure that I'm grounded and settled so that I understand what it is that God's calling me to do in my family.
Yeah.
But two, that I can actually carry that out.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So tell us, what are some of the ways you are building faith in Jesus into Beckham and Bennett?
I think there's a few things. One, just on a simple note, you know, praying with them and reading the Bible with them. So, you know, especially at dinner every meal, we do a prayer and they lead it. They get to pick. We have, you know, 7 or 8 kid prayers or whatever that we do. And so that they get to pick and they get to say it. And every night before bed, we read stories. And one of those stories is a Bible story. And that's just what our routine is. And then my wife or I pray with them before we leave the room.
That's great.
And so it's really cool to start seeing, again, like, just like us, if we're in the Word and making habits of things, like, my 5-year-old can read on his own now. And when we leave, we can hear him flip his lamp right back on and start reading his kid's Bible.
That's cool.
To himself. And, you know, 20 minutes later, we'll hear him reading it to Bennett. Or, you know, when he was little, we would find him just, like, face down. Like, he's starting to create that habit. Or, you know, we'll sit down and we'll start eating because we're in a hurry to get ready for something. And they'll say, oh, but we didn't do our prayer. And so just those little things are already starting to create habits within them. And I think another thing that we do is we try and teach them biblical principles, and not necessarily always throw scripture at them, but a lot of this is not stuff that I've written. I'm constantly, we talk about listening to podcasts and do things in.
Yeah, sure.
And I was listening to a podcast by Bob Goff, and there was a guy named John Cotton on there, and he was kind of talking about some principles that he laid out for his family.
Sure.
And so we've taken some of those and instilled them with our family. Like one is, people are always more important than things.
Mm-hmm.
And so as our kids are fighting over toys or doing that, we just kind of stop and say, okay, we're supposed to love our neighbor. Like, you know, what does this mean? Like, people are more important than things. So should we share that or should we keep it for ourselves?
Hmm.
You know, teaching them that generosity and things.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we did it this morning. They were fighting over Legos. And I just said, Beckham, like, what do we know?
Yeah.
People are more important than things.
Hmm.
You know, and so just those principles. And another one we talk about is feelings aren't actions. So in that same moment, you know, we're supposed to do unto others as we would have them do to us. So just because Bennett stole Beckham's Legos doesn't mean that Beckham gets to shove Bennett down and steal him back. You know, we need to teach him that, you know, we want them to treat others like they want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And so we just have a few of those little principles, you know, please God and love others.
Yeah.
You know, our goal is to love others and do what God wants us to do.
Amen.
You know, so as they're doing things, we're like, hey, is this something that God would want us to do? Or is this, my son will always say, because I can't remember what Bible is, but no, I think that's what the sneaky snake would say to me.
The sneaky snake.
Yeah. And so you can see just through that repetition and just those simple things, you know, people are more important than stuff, you know, and those are lessons that can, you know, last them, you know, what's more important, how you treat the people you work with or doing better than them or proving them wrong. Like,
yeah.
You know, so just those simple things we're hoping can carry through.
That's so good. Yeah. And those are short statements. They're memorable statements. And then just the repetition, mm-hmm. right? It is ingrained in us as it comes one after another, and the process never ends because we need that reminder so much more than we need to be instructed.
And I think another one, just thing to do is, you know, talking about how important forgiveness is, you know, and for me, especially being a stay-at-home dad, it goes so both ways.
Yeah.
You know, every day I'm having to pull my son aside and say, hey, man, I'm sorry. You know, one of them like, man, you know, I'm sorry. I told you I would do that. And I got distracted and I didn't do it with you. You know, like, sorry, I got frustrated. You know, I shouldn't have yelled or I shouldn't have done this, you know, like, and so then they see us doing that. And so then when it comes to sharing that with their brothers or with their mom, you know, we've hopefully modeled that stuff for them.
Amen.
And so it's not quite as foreign to them when we're doing it. And so I think that's another big lesson we try in.
Absolutely. That they can see dad apologizes even to me. That means I can apologize to my brother and we can try to make things right. I feel like parenting is so much of teaching good conflict resolution to our children.
Yeah.
Saying we have to be thinking about how much we've been forgiven of by Jesus to get our hearts ready when we make the mistakes to say, man, I messed that up.
Yeah.
That's so good. Okay, well, to wrap things up, tell us one or two verses of scripture that have encouraged or challenged you recently.
Yeah, I think one thing that I have here is going back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, I think Moses is talking to the Israelites. And one thing he says here, he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And I think that's just been a huge challenge for me is, you know, when it says, bind them as symbols on your hands, like, are my actions and the things that I'm doing and the things that I'm showing a representation of who God is to me and to them?
Wow.
And, you know, bind them on your foreheads. Like, again, are our thoughts and the words that come out of our mouths things that are glorifying to God and glorifying to others? And, you know, again, being a stay-at-home dad, I'm with them all the time. And, you know, so patience can wear thin and things like that. And, again, we make mistakes, but how do we respond to those mistakes?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, dumping something on the floor, you know, do we cry and, you know, storm off, or do we clean it up and apologize? You know, just how do we deal with all those things? And, are we are we bringing those words and things into our homes and, again, using them on daily basis? So, you know, you're building them up, the foundation up from, you know, again, 3 years old and those things that they know that that's a priority in your family and in our family.
That's awesome.
I think another one for me is going back to Ephesians. Oh, let me flip here to like 4:6. We've been talking about Ephesians again in scripture, in Bible study, and in Ephesians 1:4-6. And that says here, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." And I just think about, again, being a dad, and I think being a man in general, and just the pressure that we have and the fear of failing that we have and all of those things, and just understanding that God created us for this. He created us holy and blameless. And when our kids aren't, like, God created them the same way. And, you know, my wife and I talk about all the time, like, the way that we look at our kids and how frustrating and things that they, how must God look at us as his children? I mean, he has adopted us into his sonship. Like, how much, you know, and he wants us to do what he calls us to do. And so often we fall short. And so we need that grace, and we need to impress that grace upon our kids, just like he does to us. And it's not always easy, but that's what God calls us to do. And I think, you know, to wrap up, you know, I was thinking again, I'm blessed to have the time with my kids. And I know that a lot of men don't have that. And I think we have to stop, because I used to do this. We have to stop wishing for what we could have and take advantage of what we do have.
Absolutely.
And so we need to make sure that we're taking that time that we do have with our kids to do the things that God calls us to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I always say, like, you know, my goal as a dad is to not necessarily, I want to be the best dad, but I want to point my kids to the best dad.
Amen.
You know, I want to point them to the best father.
Absolutely.
And be the best father that I can, but I know I'm going to fall short. And I just pray that, you know, the men out there hear this and take a little grain from that. And, you know, I know you're going to get home from work at 6 and be exhausted, but that 15 minutes that you could spend playing trucks with your son, or, you know, letting your daughter paint your nails or whatever, like, those memories and those things are priceless. You know, the 15 minutes you can spend doing bedtime, you know, the throwing the ball, it doesn't have to cost money. It doesn't have to do that. You know, we play badminton every day. That's what my son wants to do now.
That's
awesome. Trying to hit the birdie with the racket, and it's not going, not going great, but man, you know, just that time that,
cause
now they run up to you and say, "Dad, will you do this?" You know? And I feel like sometimes, you know, they weren't doing that. They would just go play by themselves because they assumed I didn't have time because I was busy doing X, Y, and Z. But now that I've made the effort to be present, you can see, like, I mean, my son wakes up at 6:45 and is in my room like, "Dad, will you do Legos? Can we do this? Can we do that?" You know?
That's awesome.
So
that's so good. And those are simple steps that any guy can take. Like, we don't need to be overwhelmed. Like, if we're not doing anything right now, we don't have to be overwhelmed and say, "I got to do all this stuff." Yeah. It just takes showing up, like you said, being present and saying, "What's one thing I can do today or this week to take the step into being intentional in teaching my kids how to love God and point them to Jesus?" That's awesome. Thanks for sharing with us today, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I hope that you were just as encouraged as I was by this conversation with Brant. Just really great encouragement for our hearts that we're doing better than we think in the investment of our lives into others and into those that we love the most. I'd love to hear from you. If you have feedback about this episode, or you said, "Man, this was so good. I wanna go deeper in this. Can you help me understand how I can put this into practice?" Please, guys, reach out to me. Send me a message at men@frontlinecommunity.org. I'd love to dialogue with you. But also, guys, I'm going to put in the show notes a couple of things, a way for you to continue to contact me, but also some questions to help you go deeper into the content of this episode, some scripture references. I'd love for you to go into those and continue the conversation, not with me, but with God, through what God is teaching you through this episode today. Thanks for joining us. Tune in next time for our next episode. Love you guys, and God bless.